All right, let's go. Well, we have a lot of fun here, and it's Sunday morning, and it's Don Cherry's Grapevine. And Tim, I got to tell you something. On TV, I never miss a Blue Jay game. And if I miss it, I very rarely miss it. I watched the doubleheader yesterday, and this is Saturday we're talking. Oh, this is Sunday we're talking.
Sunday, yep.
Sunday. And I tell you, when I just knew, I somehow knew Springer was going to hit that home run. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
That was the game on Saturday. What would they win, 11-10?
Oh, and I just knew they were going to win.
But what a long game. I turned it on thinking I'm going to watch. I thought, well, they're in the fifth inning of the doubleheader. I thought they're the fifth inning of the second game, and they were still in the first game.
Yeah, I know. Some of the one game was almost 4 hours.
So can I ask you a question?
Well, it's a guy going wrong. The guy goes for a walk after he's a strike.
Yeah, sure.
And they go talk to the pitcher. Hey, by the way, I'd like to say I've never seen, and I've been watching from Dizzy Dean back in the, I've never seen a manager of another club give a pitcher, and it had happened the other night, the pitcher for the general manager for Baltimore was, I can't believe him yelling. And they were, it wasn't like, it was like he said something once. I mean, they just kept going. And he invited
them. Was this on the mound or in the?
I never did find out.
Yeah, I didn't see. And that brings up a point that you and I were talking about. The guys that are doing the broadcast, the radio, and they don't even do radio now. It's simulcast, the TV, Buck Martinez and them. They didn't know what was going on because they're not at the stadium.
Yeah.
Like Buck Martinez and Dan Shulman, if they were there,
Florida,
they would have picked up on maybe what was going on.
Yeah.
But if you're sitting in a studio watching it on TV, you don't get the feel of what's going on in the game. But
remember the time Guy Lafleur broke his ankle and he wasn't going to play. So I remember saying, this was when Ron McLean's first started. I said, okay, boy, I got something for a coach's corner. I said, I can hardly wait till the end. And he says, what? I said, I think Guy Lafleur broke his ankle or he's not going to play. Well, we have to give that to the people up. What are you, nuts or something? You think of yourself, you know, because nobody else thinks. Yeah, once you're gone, you're gone.
Yeah, you wanted to break the story. And
I wanted to break
to
the
give
story.
It to somebody else.
And he wanted to give it to somebody else.
Well, that happened to you a couple times. You had mentioned what you were going to talk about to someone else, and then somehow it made it in during the game on the first period.
Well, he found out. Later on, he found out. So anyhow, I never miss a game. I think the Blue Jays, and I watch them.
Go ahead, Tim.
When you're watching a game, are you like me when you watch a game and that? Because you got to say, there's a lot of pausing in between baseball.
There is.
Do you pick another show on TV?
Yes.
So that you can do a recall? So when there's a commercial or they're discussing the relativity of the ball? So you always look around. Do you go to the game show? I go to the game show network. Where do you go to?
I go to the 4-8, whatever that is. And it shows the movies.
Oh, Turner. You go to Turner.
Turner, yeah.
Turner to 48. See what movies are showing.
I don't know.
Well, so, we all have our go-to things.
So the Jays, they swept Yankees.
Unbelievable.
That was the first time I was reading the paper since like 1920 that the Yankees lost 4 games in a row and never led in those 4 games.
Yeah.
And so now I think they're tied right now.
They won a big game. Yankees won a big game.
But I think the Jays made up ground because of the doubleheader. So they're tied for the wild card. So do you think they're going to make the playoffs?
I'm saying the Blue Jays are going to make it. I'm one of those dumbheads. But talking about baseball, we should talk about Larry Walker making the Hall of Fame. And boy, what a baseball player is. And I think he made it in his last vote.
Yeah, that was like the way they do it in baseball is you have to get a certain amount of points or votes from the reporters, and then you only have a certain amount of time. And then after, if you don't get it, I forget how many years it is, if you get it by then you can't get in.
Yeah, you get the old timers or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
No.
But he made it.
But he, okay, Dad, let's say if he was an American.
If he was an American, he'd been automatic first time. I mean.
He would have been first ballot.
I mean, this guy, you know what they they had against him? He hit all his home, well, a lot of the home runs when he was in Denver. When the air was, you know, the air is 5,000 feet there.
Yeah, because the air is thinner because they're a mile high. The ball travels farther.
Oh, you used to go all the time, eh, Tim, when you were?
Yeah, when we were in Denver, we went to, there was the Denver Bears, and they were a AAA team of the Montreal Expos. So we saw Terry Francona and Timmy Raines, all those guys playing in the minors. And it was like, they used to have hot dog night or the 4th of July. They'd get 60,000 people at, because they played at Mile High Stadium where the Broncos played. And they'd get 50, 60,000 people there. And so you knew they were going to be a good baseball town.
But I thought it was tougher on the athletes in that high elevation.
No, I hit the home run.
But the ball travels farther.
Oh, so it counteracts.
So that's why he said he never made the Hall of Fame, was because he played in Denver.
Oh.
I mean, and...
he goes, well, what about all the golden gloves? Well, then they
seven.
Just...
Seven golden gloves. Did that, you know, the air... I mean, he won seven golden gloves. I mean, played over 1,000 games. Five All-Stars. He played first base and... I'm in the hockey now.
Right wing.
Yeah, right field. Yeah, and he was terrific. And he never took up hockey. He never took up baseball until he was 16 years old.
Yeah, he was a goalie. He tried to play
Regina Pats, I think.
Cut him. But his best year was in '97 when he won the MVP for the National League. He had the player's choice, like the players voted him best player in the National League. He won a Golden Glove, the Silver Slugger. He hit 366. He had 49 home runs, 130 RBIs, and get this, 33 stolen bases.
Yeah, and you know, that's pretty good. He was a big guy. Well, he is a big guy, and he was a big guy back when he played. And now he did say something that I have to take exception to. And I'm sure there's a guy in Kingston taking exception to it too. Bob Elliott
They say there's two guys in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he said there was two guys in the Hall of Fame.
Larry Walker and Fergie Jenkins.
Fergie Jenkins, the great pitcher. And au contraire, mon ami. I learned that. And Bob Elliott. Now, Bob Elliott, I think, unbelievable that he won baseball. And he got in over all the American writers. Can you imagine how many writing baseball? And Bob Elliott got in, and I was quite proud of that. He's from Kingston. And his father, I remember seeing his father play. His father was a catcher. And, boy, he knew baseball. And that's where he started out, was Kingston, Ontario.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's just say, I would almost think that'd be harder for a Canadian to get into the writers, get in the writers category in Baseball Hall of Fame than a player almost.
Well, you would think.
I have to tell you one story about baseball. I used to go down to the games all the time. And Tom Cheek, remember Tom Cheek? Great Tom Cheek, great announcer.
Yep.
And Jerry Howarth.
Yep.
And they asked me to go on. And I was quite honored to go on. So I went on in between or during the game. And so I stayed during the game. And this guy, I'll never forget, he ran a routine ball, hit to second base, and it was routine. So he held onto the bat and kind of just jogged down. And the guy flubbed the ball, and he was out by a step. And I just ripped him. I said, if that had been a hockey player, you're supposed to run out. If he had to run out and drop the bat and ran, he'd have been first. And I just ripped him to shreds, I noticed they were awful quiet. So that was the end of me. So I was on, I sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game in Chicago. I must talk about that someday. And they asked me to come on. Usually you take pretty famous to be, take me out.
Well, it's a lot of pressure because in Chicago, if you get it wrong.
Oh, if you say the wrong thing. If I had to call it, what was it?
It's Wrigley Field and everybody calls it Wrigley Stadium.
Yeah, and I'm sitting beside a guy, a young guy, and I said, why do they boo? He says, because the people call it a Wrigley Field.
No, Wrigley Stadium.
Oh, I don't know. I forget. Oh, yeah, Wrigley Stadium. And you're supposed to call it a field. And boy, and I used to say.
You felt the pressure.
Well, I thought, I'd get booed too. He says, well, don't call it a stadium. So I'm there, and I see, and they asked me to go on Chicago Stadium, and I, you know, I come on, said something, and Jerry Howarth was right there, like right beside them, and he waved to me. He never asked me to come on.
Still holding the grudge.
Well, I don't know if you hold a grudge or not. They better not get this.
Well, jerk. Rogers, they
well, they don't want to be too controversial.
I was still with Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah. So
I guess they. Well, anyhow, I never got asked back on baseball. But and you know what? One of the things that really gave me a chill was I was down when I was famous. When I was down,
we were down. You threw. We told that story before. You threw the first pitch.
Yeah.
On Canada Day.
Yeah, and I went up and I had a hot dog and had a couple of beers.
Yeah, we went up to afterwards. Went up to a.
Yeah, usually I dropped in the car. And I said, "Well, let's go up and have a hot dog or something." So and they played. They had a coach, and then they had one of my coaches. They said, "Which one is Don Cherry's coach?" And then they played Stomp and Tom. Hello out there, and they all cheered.
Yep.
Remember that?
It was something, and they knew the words.
And they sang the song, Hello Out There, We're on the Air, It's Hockey Night Tonight. Remember that?
I hope they had that on TV, because that was really, that was a moment.
I still get chills when I think about it. Everybody at the ballpark, when, you know, the song comes on, and as soon as they sang it, they all looked up, and I took...
Yeah.
And, anyhow.
You know what I remember about that? Two things I remember, because I was with you. First of all, we met the umpires.
Yeah, that was strange.
So we went in, and the umpires, they check every ball.
Every ball.
They have like just hundreds and hundreds of balls, and they're checking them. And so they wanted an autograph, and you had a Sharpie. They said, no, you sign
with a pen.
With like a big pen. They said, don't ever sign a baseball with a Sharpie.
I've seen baseballs signed by famous people, and I always said to myself, why do they use a pen? You think they would use a Sharpie.
And he said, no, don't use that.
Will it run, you think, with the leather?
I don't know.
No, Sharpie doesn't run.
No, and then...
And they give us a pen.
Right. And then when you threw out the first pitch, right, they got the ball and they gave you the ball and they put like a little, sticker on it that had a code that you could read on your phone or on a computer.
Oh, yeah.
And that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then you couldn't, you know, I was looking at it. Like once it was on, it was one of those ones that you couldn't take off. Right. And so that. You know, they could check that, yes, that was the ball that Don Cherry threw out on Canada
Day. I was more nervous. We talked about that earlier, but I was more nervous, and I had to stand there and wait.
And then I have to say, the other thing is, then they took you into the dressing room of the Jays.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very nice, was it?
It
was big, but...
Oh, Larry Walker.
Yeah, well, tell the story. When you were in Colorado, you and Ron were doing the playoffs.
We were in the playoffs, and we had a day off, and I don't know how I got in talk. I don't know. Anyhow, so we went to the game. Well, I know, and come to think of it, we were sitting up in the stands, and it was early.
You went to see batting practice, I think.
Yeah, batting practice. They start early.
So you're
people think they baseball players just get there the day. They're there all day. So he sees us sitting up there, and he said, come on now, come on. No, we don't want to go down. We're like, you know, we think it's like hockey.
Yeah, because hockey players, you don't, in the dressing room, it's like nobody goes in, right?
I mean, nobody goes in. So he says, come on down, sit in there. So we come down and we sat in the dugout, and they were out there knocking the ball around and everything. So we sat there for a while, and he was really a great guy, Larry Walker. He was a great guy. He says, come on. We'll go. No, geez, we don't want to go in your room. Holy Dinah, we went in the room. You can't believe how big it was, and it had food. If you wanted anything you wanted, everything was there.
Because remember, you were saying, we can't go. What did he say? He goes, don't worry, this isn't like hockey.
Yeah, he says, don't worry about it. This isn't like hockey.
So he even knew the culture of hockey.
They were all out there. And so we got halfway, and there was a batting. You could take batting practice then.
So they actually had a batting cage.
They had a batting cage. One room had a batting cage.
Underneath,
that's no kidding. And... So he says, would you like to take it? Yeah. So I, 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 I got Ron to go up first. And he was all sweaty. Swing. He was nervous. And he swung at his bat, went bing, bing, zing, bing, went all over the room.
When it flew out of his hand?
Rocker looked at me.
What, the bat?
Flew out of his
hand. Bat, bing, you know.
Flew out of his hand?
Flew out of his hands because he was all sweaty.
How embarrassing.
And bing, bang, it hit all over the walls and everything like that. And Larry Walker kind of looked at me and, this guy. So I got the bat, you went it down, and I watched how the bat would come out. You know, and I got a couple of singles. But I never run. So and then we went in another room, and they all set tons. And you can't believe it. There was about five rooms. And in the back, it was a swimming pool. And there was a pitcher. He wasn't swimming. He was kind of going around and everything like that.
Holy.
Yeah, oh, it was. And a swimming pool.
That is amazing. Uh-huh. And then you were disappointed in the Blue Jays dressing room.
I was so nervous, I didn't even notice. I can't remember.
It was really kind of like, you know what it looked like? It looked like somebody didn't design it, and they kind of went the last minute, oh, we got to put the dressing room in.
I think it's not that way now.
Clubhouse, I guess they call it. They call it dressing clubhouse. And it was like the ceiling was uneven, and it was dark.
Yeah, I don't think it's like that now, though.
I hope not. So,
anyhow.
Well, a lot of people don't know, Dad, and we talked that. You got, when you were young, you were a very good ball player.
I was a good ball player. And I could run, I could hit, but I could have started. Spike Garnish and I forgot the other guy's name. Spike Garnish was Greg Malevi, two scouts. So they sat me down, and they were from the Dodgers organization.
I have that. You know, I have the letter in my lockbox.
Do you really?
I have the original typewritten letter.
I know.
Of you being invited to the Brooklyn Dodgers, right? That's the name of it. Yep. I still have it.
Was it double A?
It was A. You started in A. So they sat me down. And they said, "Okay, now what's the story with you?" And he says, "You can hit as good as the Americans. You can everything." He said, "But there's one thing you can't do as good as Americans, is throw the ball." And what happened was they knew how to throw the ball. And I see these guys throw from third base. Just like a rocket going over there. Yeah. I could never throw a ball. And if you're an outfielder, when the ball hits, they don't try to throw it all the way. They like it to hit just before and skip, and it really takes off. And they said, your ball doesn't skip the way it should. And he says, "No, what are you going to do?" So I was quite a hockey player back then too. So they said, "Well, if I were you, I'd stick to hockey." Yeah.
So well, I went. It was funny. So I remember you telling me that you and Uncle Rich used to throw balls, and you used to throw junk. And your dad got mad at you, saying, "You're screwing up your arm how to throw the ball."
And we used to throw curves, Richard and I, and in the backyard, and we'd throw a curve, and we'd think that was great. And my dad come and catch us, and he'd say, "You're screwing up your arm." I said, "You should throw," and he was showing me how to throw the ball. Like he could.
Because your dad was a good ball player.
Oh, because remember the other advice he gave you that you didn't listen to about sharpening your cleats? Remember he said your cleats are too sharp, so when you go to slide, you're not sliding in, and you broke your ankle.
I didn't listen to my dad, and I thought I knew everything, and
you broke your ankle.
Broke my ankle, and I know I was terrible. Anyhow, Larry, what are we talking about? Larry Walker.
Larry Walker. You know, here's a little trivia for you, Dad. People don't know, Canadians out there, that Larry Walker won an award in Canada called the Tip O'Neill Award.
Tip O'Neill.
So when I hear Tip O'Neill, being an American, I think of Speaker of the
politician.
Yeah, Speaker of the House, Tip O'Neill, who was from Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah,
white hair, very...
Right, he was the guy that he was from Boston, and Marvin Hagler kept not getting title shots, and he went to the two WBC and WBA and said, "If Hagler doesn't get a shot in 6 months, I'm launching a Senate investigation," and he got the shot.
Nice to have power.
Yeah, and then
well, you should have had Marvin Hagler, not the... Get off on another subject, but he was good, and he was left-handed, and nobody wanted to fight him.
Right, so he was the guy, and then they screwed him in the Anna Vermeil fight, so it doesn't make a difference. Right? But anyway, so it's called Tip O'Neill, so I kind of looked to see what the Tip O'Neill Award was, and Tip O'Neill was a Canadian baseball player from Springfield, Ontario, so that's just kind of outside St. Thomas, I guess, and he played in... He played in the late 1800s, and he was the only the second player ever to win the Triple Crown in baseball, which is in 1887 he had get this a .435 average, but hit 14 home runs, led the league hitting in 14 home runs. Had 123 RBIs, and that's when he played for St. Louis Browns in 124 games.
I bet you Tip O'Neill was named after him because Tip O'Neill was kind of old when we were there.
Yeah.
I'll bet you he was named after
him. I'm sure Tip was a nickname, so yeah. There you go.
So, but I didn't realize. And you wonder why he's not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. I mean, his average in 123 games was
Canadian.
Was 435. So that's when people say he wins the Tip O'Neill Award, it's not the U.S. politician. It's a baseball player from the late 1800s.
Well, Tim, tell us about the Spread.
Okay, spreads.ca. They're our sponsor. They're a Canadian online casino and sportsbook. And if you go on today and use the promo code GRAPES, they'll match your deposit up to $200. You get 10 spins on the big wheel. I did it the other day and won $5. And
boy, betting is a big deal now in the NHL.
It's all single game betting. You can go to they have a sports book, single game betting, and they have games, they have prop bets, they have everything.
Canadian money too.
Canadian money, which is really good because the other ones you got to put U.S. money in. And so they've been with us a long time, and they're a great organization, and we like to thank them. And just, you know, the big, let's face it, the big betting, you know, is the NFL is that's where it, like, because they have all these profits.
How about Brady the other day?
And I was watching, and you know what I mean? It really is. Like, he doesn't age.
You knew he was going to score, or the guy was going to kick a field goal.
It was, yeah, like Tampa was playing Dallas, and I kind of root for Dallas because I've done some work down at Arlington Stadium. I should talk about that, and they were really great people. And so when Dallas scored, the quarterback walked. He looked up and he looked off and he goes,
"Too much time."
He goes, "We're only ahead by 2 with a minute 40." He knew they were going to lose. You could just see that on his face. Sure enough, Brady comes down, bing, 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 kicked a field goal to win.
And he threw two balls out of bounds so the town.
So they wouldn't have enough time when it got over.
I think it was 14 seconds. Something.
Yeah. So he knows how to kill the clock well.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't bet against him.
I mean, guy. They should have lost that game. I'll tell you one thing, boy. He knows that, and he wasn't excited.
Nope.
Just
the thing is, like, he's like one of those guys now. Imagine playing 300, starting 300 games in the NFL. Like,
I think
as a quarterback.
If I watched that game, he only got really creamed once.
Yeah, he knows how to get rid of it before he gets hit.
Remember he got creamed that once?
Yeah, he got hit, but... Yeah.
He probably has a real calming effect in the huddle. You know, you can tell he's a calm, and I think that would be important in football.
Well, how does he leave Patriots, and he goes to Tampa, and they win?
They win. And they're favored to do it again. They're not favored, maybe not to win the Super Bowl, but they're favored to win their division. And you watch the fourth quarters, you're going to say, okay, is this like you're looking for a chink in his armor? Like, oh, is he getting too slow or
something?
Or are they, nothing, just down. First couple of passes, you know, he had to kind of get back into the groove of things. And then, Gronkowski.
Yeah,
you know, he's an older guy, and he just, you know, when he needs to find an open guy, there he goes. So
he's the guy.
Yeah.
So, Dad, for the last three shows, we've been talking about, or we're going to be talking about, Mark Savard. So tell us, I mean, one of your favorites.
Well, I could tell you a lot of stories, but I think that I should tell his stats first. It's funny, he's from Ottawa. He played, I wrote all this down, 800 games, he played over 800 games. He had 90 points twice. He had 80 points twice. He had power play. He was a specialist on power play. He could really pass the puck. He was really great. Twice he led the OHL in scoring when he was with the Oshawa Generals. He got hired. He's going to be coach of the Windsor Spitfires.
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep. No, he got hired.
Oh, and you know one thing I remember is when he got hit by Matt Cook. Remember that time?
Oh, yeah. Well,
boy, you watch that. You Google that, and you were just spewing your venom during that. Holy.
He passed the puck, and it was like 6'7", and he come across from the other side, and boy, he hit him right on the jaw. And the first time I'd ever seen him spin, he was out cold when as soon as he hit him, and he hit the ice and he spun.
Well, yeah, because you know, like last year, Kadri hit that guy, right? Remember that? And he got 10 games.
Yeah.
That was almost a bang-bang play a little bit, right? So Cook hitting Savard, like you could have counted to five before he hit him. So it was like he was going to hit him in the head. He was going to elbow him in the head. It was just, it was awful.
So it was a head. It was the head. So there's a big difference.
I don't know if he met the...
Can I ask, is there a big difference between, you know, the old hit between Scott Stevens and Eric Lindros? What's the difference between those two hits?
Well, that was a play. Andrew Lindros had the puck.
Lindros, I mean, he didn't have the...
Of course, yes.
You know, someday we'll go through that one there. But I never forget Matt Cook. And you know what? I met him, and you know, let me just tell you the story about going out there. I'm walking out, and all the parents are from Canada.
Well, can I just jump in just a sec? Like Matt Cook, you know, kind of jumping on him a little bit, but he hit a lot of guys. He hit LeCavier, and Cavier was never the same. And in the playoffs one year, he hit Tyson Barrie, stuck out his knee, and Tyson Barrie hurt his knee.
McDonough?
Yeah. So he hit a lot. He hit a McDonough. He got hurt, and then the thing he did to Savard was awful. And
Tyson Barrie, he got two with the knee.
Yeah, and that's when you really got on him, was Tyson Barrie. It was like, you know, when is enough enough? Because he only got three games, I think.
Well, you're getting
So you came on Coach's Corner one time, really giving it.
You know, Tyson
after the Tyson Barrie, you came on the and really gave it to him. And he was, I think, and then you saw him in Pittsburgh. He was playing for Pittsburgh, and then you were at a game in Pittsburgh.
Was it Pittsburgh? Okay, yeah, I guess it was Pittsburgh. So all the parents had come down to see this game. I don't forget. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw him waiting in a tunnel. I was like, I really didn't want to confront him. By that time, I'd cooled down. So I'm signing the autographs for the parents and that, and kind of looking at him, and he's not moving. And he's standing there. So Ron, he went around the outside, and he said, come on, let's go to the outside. No, if he wants to stand there.
So were you delaying time signing stuff just to see if he was going to say something?
Yeah, I'd hope he'd leave.
So you were...
I have to say...
You were killing time.
I was killing time, kind of keep an eye on him, and he wasn't leaving. So I went up, and we were nose to nose.
So who went up to who? What happened?
I had to go up to him.
Did he say something to you?
No, he stood right. He knew I had to go around there, and Ron went around the outside of the curtain. And I said, that's the way. In for a penny, in for a pound. So we went up, and we really went at it. And then the PR guy come along.
Well, why don't you say what he said to you? He said, are you
going to... Oh, I can't say. There was a lot of adjectives.
No, but that he said, are you going to say it to my face, what you said?
No, he said, you going to say it to my face that I say, you said on television? I said, can't say.
And then we were off.
Well, you called him a backstabber, didn't you, or something?
Oh, I call him a lot of things.
To his face.
And to his face. Absolutely. I said, what do you think? I'm afraid of you. And he was a pretty big guy. I didn't think he was that big. So then the PR guy come on, get the fuck out of here.
So the PR guy tries to come.
Well, I get the... And then the coach, who's the coach?
Bousman.
Yeah, Danny Bousman. And I said, get this. And we went on for about five or ten minutes.
Where was Ron? You told the coach. You told him to buzz off.
I can't tell. I don't swear.
Where was Ron in all this? Was he gone?
He had gone. Everybody had gone. And then, you know. So anyhow, it was quite a thing.
And if you want, you go on Google. Cherry, Matt Cook, and they got about 30 seconds of you guys.
You showed me that.
Yeah.
People must have got their phones out.
And I'm poking him in the shoulder.
Yeah, he got your... I don't know if you poked him, but he got his... Your finger was in his face.
Well, if you want to see it, how do you get to it?
Go to Google and Google Don Cherry, Matt Cook.
Okay, but Dad, that isn't the first time you've come into an altercation, has it? Or...
Oh, I've had. But I want to talk about Mark Savard. We'll
talk about that next week. All the guys that Dad ran into on Coach's Corner. Carcello.
But let me talk about Mark Savard.
Yeah.
This is, I think it's funny anyhow. Scott Mellenby and I, when he was on television, him and I talked about, and He got three assists in Philadelphia. So he's quite excited. He feels somebody's looking at him, and he leans back, and there's Savard staring at him, and he goes four, and he puts up four like that. Me, four, and right away I like the guy right off the bat, cocky guy. So now they're in Boston, I think. They're in Boston. And he walks in the back room, and he's looking in the mirror, and Savard is talking to a stick. Come on, Savvy. He calls the stick Savvy. Come on, Savvy. He says, this team is dependent on you. If you don't score, we don't win. And he's going, I said, I really like this guy. And we went on about Savard and what a hockey player he was. And he was never the same. After Matt Hookham, he was never the same.
Yeah,
after,
he tried to come back.
He'd come back. He did pretty good, but so now I got to tell you one more story. I know we got to go, but so Hockey Night in Canada, we're through and we're getting into our car, and he comes out and he's got three or four kids, and he's shaved his head, and I did not know him, but somehow or other I said, if something come to me, this is Mark Savard. And hey, Mark, thank God. Imagine if I had cooled him. I didn't cool him. I would say, hey, how you doing? You know, just say, hey, how you doing? But I didn't know it was Mark Savard because he'd shaved his head. And so I want to wish him the best of luck in Windsor. And I hope he'll teach the guys how to pass the puck. Boy, I'll tell you, he was a magician with that puck.